listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
In Numbers chapter 18, God makes a salt covenant with the Levites. And he says, this is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord. Okay? So from this, we understand that salt covenants last forever. Remember, salt doesn't change. You can dissolve it in water and evaporate. It comes back to the same crystalline structure. And even God makes a salt covenant with David. He says in 2 Corinthians 13 that the Lord God gave rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt. Okay? And then in Leviticus chapter 2, God instructs the people to sprinkle salt on the grain offerings, on their offerings, as a sign of their eternal relationship. Every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your Lord shall not be lacking from your grain. Okay, so I think we can see that in this context, salt refers to relationship, our covenant with God. And there's a book that I read and still reference, The History of Salt, Salt, A World History by Mark Kurlansky. And on page 7, he writes this, salt was to the ancient Hebrews and still is to modern Jews the symbol of the eternal nature of God's covenant with Israel. On Friday nights, Jews dip the Sabbath bread in salt. In Judaism, bread is a symbol of food, which is a gift from God, and dipping the bread in salt preserves it, keeps the agreement between God and his people. So, in Middle Eastern culture, if you're friends with somebody, you could say something to indicate that, like, there's salt between us, and they would understand that, yes, we're friends. And Jesus refers to this relational aspects where he says in Mark chapter 9, salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourself and live in peace with each other. See, he's instructing his disciples to be known by their loyalty to their friends and their family. And even when Paul is instructing his friends in Colossae, he says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So this being salt of the earth has a very relational meaning. Now, I'm going to show you a picture here, Rhett, of a famous painting by Leonardo da Vinci.
Make sure you describe it for the people on radio who can't see it.
It's the Last Supper. Jesus is sitting at a long table, and Jesus has just said something. Someone is going to betray me, and all the disciples are going, who, and they're leaning over. Who is it? Well, Leonardo is painting this, and if you notice, the third guy on Jesus's right, who's holding the money bag, that's Judas. If you notice in this Last Supper painting, Judas has just knocked over the salt container with his right wrist, and it is spilled out on the table.
Yeah.
Because there's no more loyalty between him and Jesus. Okay? Now, I found that extraordinary when I noticed this Last Supper painting, that the salt had been spilt out. I went, wow, Leonardo understood that this flavor, this seasoning that Jesus is calling us to in our culture is to be loyal and faithful, unoffendable friends. This should be our attitude and our relationship, and that our good works, our service to others, they should shine before men as light, so that people will see the light of God in us, will actually see Jesus in us.
So now, let me interrupt here just to say this. This is for Doolin. By the way, you're listening to a cup of friendship, and I'm Rhett Palmer. Been on the radio for 32 years. My friend Mike Bagby is a biblical historian, and as some even call him a rabbi. He spent many, many years going back and forth to Israel. He's also, he and his beautiful bride and four children have been missionaries for, I guess, over 40 years now. down in the islands, and they were going to build a church down there. And the Lord spoke to him to open up a coffee shop, because some people will not grace the doorstep of a church, but they will come to a coffee shop. And this is the way you can build up equity and get to know people, and then perhaps let them know about your Lord and Savior. We also have coffee available. You can see the package between us. It's called Cup of Friendship, and I think it's .com, is it not?
Yes.
And so you might want to order some of our coffee. That helps support us. We've actually sold two bags recently.
Okay. So, Rhett. So,
let's keep continuing on.
So now I have an understanding of what being salt and light actually means as I put it in its cultural context, and its biblical context of unchanging relationships. Imagine if we followers of Jesus were known as friendly, unoffendable people. Now, Red, have you met followers of Jesus that aren't necessarily friendly to others?
Yes.
And have you met followers of Jesus that sometimes, as we naturally do, hold on to offenses?
Yeah.
Okay. And see, I think what Jesus is calling us to do in this teaching on discipleship is first recognize our desperate need of God and allow him to change us. And one of the first changes that we should be coming to is not being judgmental people that hold on to offenses that are looking out for our own interest, but looking out for the interests of others and being known as loyal, faithful friends in our communities. And you mentioned that, yes, we were going to start a church on the island of Utila, which is in the Western Caribbean. It's a free dive and scuba diving destination. We're going to start a church there in the 90s to reach out to the travelers that come from Europe and Asia and Australia and South America, all over the world for scuba and free diving. But the Lord said, no, a coffee shop, because we could serve a good cup of coffee and serve a meal and start a relationship of friendship, because coffee is the friendship drink, and actually become friends with people. And when we become friends with people, now very naturally, as we're asking them questions and getting to know them and about their life, they're very naturally going to ask us questions. And thus begins a very organic process of evangelism, if I can use that word, of them coming to know the peace of God that we have and us being able to extend that understanding to them.
As opposed to jumping all over people.
Right. So I believe salt and light is basically faithful, loyal, caring friends who do random acts of kindness and service for others. And of course, this goes along with so much of the biblical teaching in the Christian scriptures. I mean, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others."
Where are you reading from?
Philippians chapter 2.
Okay, could you read that again? That's really good.
Well, this is where Paul's actually going to give a description of what Jesus did by not regarding the prerogatives of God, coming to earth as a human being, setting aside his godliness and becoming a human and then serving us and giving his life as a ransom. He starts that off by saying, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own interest, but also the interest of others." So I think what Jesus is saying, if we're going to be his true disciples, that we will indeed consider the needs of others that are much more important than our own. We won't hold on to offenses. We'll always keep the door open to those who are offended by our words of counsel, our Christian behavior, because there's a lot of that going on. And that this should be our lifestyle, and it's actually the first step in true organic evangelism. And I honestly think that when I started spending time and living in Israel and I saw salt and I was on a camel trip and I watched that lady toss the salt bowl out the door, you know, and what was in the bowl, and I began to get an understanding of what Jesus might be saying to his disciples regarding losing its flavor, being trampled upon by men. And we can't spiritualize words like that. We have to contextualize them and understand maybe what the disciples were thinking. But the bottom line is we're to be known as loyal, unoffendable friends. We're to be salty people. Our speech should always be directed toward relationship and peace and bringing understanding. And I think this is the steps of true discipleship.
Well, it's, yeah, I'm learning maybe late in life that it's there's much more joy in being in service. In other words, now I say to my friends, I say, now there's five of us in the room right here. Yeah, according to what I've learned now, I'm supposed to be in service of all of you above myself. And when we do that, it's like when you let somebody else out in traffic, it feels really good. Now, if they don't thank you, they don't thank me, that's none of my business. I've done the right thing. I've dignified others and helped them, or you give to somebody, don't expect something in response, but esteeming others greater than self. And it's quite a joy.
Yeah, it's, and in fact, yeah, I think you're bringing up a good point of our behavior in traffic. I just, my home is now here in Vero Beach and in Honduras, but I am at home in the island of Maui, where our home church, Hope Chapel, is. We just returned from spending some time there working with our churches. And there, the way the traffic patterns are, it works so much better if when someone's trying to pull out on a busy street, you actually slow down, you give them a gap, and you allow them to pull in. There's so much aloha in that gesture. I find myself challenged often here in Vero Beach, particularly out by our cafe on 43rd Avenue, the way they constructed a new road. There's a merge lane that suddenly... you're merging and everyone's in a hurry. And
I'm familiar with that spot, you know, and I want to take a picture of it and send it to the city fathers and say, why did you just not complete it when you come up on Aviation Boulevard? Who was not thinking properly?
I think there's another phase to the project where they're going to put a culvert in under 43rd Avenue and 26th Avenue, and there just wasn't room for a right turn lane. So, but they,
you know, what would be good there really is a circle. They work very well.
Right. But the point is, I was challenged in my Christian behavior, and even my son, everybody was challenged by that. And then we've all finally got to the point where we
tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
To the Lord with joy, to the rock of our salvation. Let us sing unto the Lord with joy, to the rock of our salvation. Let us sing unto the Lord with joy, to the rock of our salvation. Come into His presence with praise, singing and shouting, proclaim that Adonai is a great God. Come into His presence with praise, singing. Nadia Latsoy Yesheno, the Hunaranana Ladanai, Nadia Latsoy Yesheno, the Hunaranana Ladanai, Nadia Latsoy Yesheno, the Hunaranana Ladanai, Nadia Latsoy Yesheno, Nikama Pana Petora, Ismir of Maria Lo, Kielgado.